Hello and welcome to the BizNews Briefing. This is the program where we take a deep dive into issues that affect the pockets of South Africans. Economics is not boring. It actually affects how much money I've got at the end of the month, and you too. So I hope you're going to enjoy the insights that we provide every Monday to Thursday at 7:30 here on ENCA. Today's issue is to do with livestock farmers. Now, you wonder, what has that got to do with me? Actually, it's got a heck of a lot to do with you, because livestock farmers are the people who put the meat on our briars, and they are going through an existential crisis. The reason for this is there's a virus called foot and mouth disease, and foot and mouth disease has taken hold in South Africa. There are hundreds of reports of outbreaks, many in areas that have never had the problem for decades. Tonight, we're going to have a look at what went wrong and indeed what could be the solution. But let me just explain for a moment why this is important. Foot and mouth disease, when animals are affected by it, impacts their fertility. It impacts how much milk they can produce, and it causes massive weight loss. Now, all three of those issues make it very difficult, if not impossible, for farmers to give us the meat and the milk that keep the tummies of South Africans going. An expert that we spoke to, probably the expert, is Dr. Theo de Jager. He was the president of the World Farmers Organization, first elected in 2017, re-elected in 2019, and he left there in 2022, the first and only South African to have that honor so far. Dr. de Jager is now the chairman of the South African Agricultural Initiative. And I asked him whether foot and mouth disease is now getting out of control.
No. The largest part of our country has been foot and mouth free for many, many decades. And it's different from safety and security or potholes where farmers would usually make a plan and just do something for themselves, because this is a state-controlled disease. By law, it is, we cannot bring in measures to manage it. The state has to do it.
Sounds a little bit to me like Eskom used to be the state supplier of electricity, and we weren't even allowed to put, or the private sector was not allowed to generate electricity until the law was changed. In this case, the private sector has been kept out, and actually, that is part of the problem. Where was Ground Zero? Well, it's pretty clear now, if you listen to Dr. de Jager.
In South Africa, it is endemic. We've always had foot and mouth disease, especially in the northernmost and northeastern parts of our country. Foot and mouth is endemic in the Kruger National Park. All the buffaloes in the Kruger Park would have it, but it does nothing to them. They don't get sick and they don't die from it. It is when they make contact with cattle that we have damage. Now, how that happens is usually because of elephants. Elephants are the only animals who can break that Armstrong fence around the Kruger Park. And in situations like we have lately, there are simply too many elephants in the park. And we're not allowed to hunt them or reduce those numbers. So they break out. And once they've broken the fence, the buffaloes walk out.
But it's obviously not the first time that buffaloes have broken out of the Kruger Park. So what went wrong this time?
We have developed an artificial intelligence platform where we harvest data at the back end of it. And we saw that there was a problem with foot and mouth in northern KZN this time last year. when more than 60 inquiries were registered about foot and mouth. So we immediately made an appointment with a senior official in the department, and we said, it seems that there's a foot and mouth outbreak. And his response was, yes, there is. We know about it. But we're not going to declare this in the affected zone yet. We are not going to release a budget for vaccinations yet, because the private sector and the minister is discussing this without involving us at the moment. Now, that zone was declared only, if I remember well, around the 17th of April, you know, 6 months later. It should have been done already in 2024. And by that time, there was no stopping of it anymore. We do not have roadblocks anymore. We don't have the capacity to cordon off a certain area. So we cannot control the movement of animals. And it will move. If you don't control it, it will move. Because it's the livelihood of both commercial farmers and smallholder farmers who depend on the income they get from selling those animals. And once it's an affected area, it's been declared an affected area, you're no longer allowed to take it to the auction floors or to the feedlots. And the latest outbreak has really spilled over much wider across the country than ever before, even into the Eastern Cape, into the Free State, in the last week or so, also into the Western Cape. And our farmers are in dire straits.
Okay, so you're getting the picture now. The bureaucrats knew about it a year ago. They decided not to take action. They were miffed that they'd been excluded from the conversations. And as a result, they purposefully, it appears now anyway, allowed this felt fire virus to spread, and to spread into parts of the country that it hadn't been before. What tends to happen, or did happen in the past, was those buffer zones around the Kruger Park and other game reserves would be very closely monitored, and once there was an outbreak, once a buffalo had got through and given foot and mouth to a farmer's stock, well, they were cordoned off and vaccines were applied. But the problem is, we don't have vaccines anymore. And if you go and watch the full interview, which is on biznews.com/briefing, you'll see that R500 million seems to have disappeared as a result. So South Africa now gets vaccines in from Botswana, which is another part of the problem. It's pretty smelly, all of this. I'm sure you'll agree. But what happens next? What about the Minister of Agriculture? He's so far got quite a lot of plaudits. We've spoken to people in organized agriculture like yourself who've said, no, Steenhuisen's doing a good job. Doesn't seem to be doing a good job here.
You see, there's not that much the minister can do but to create the frameworks in which all the players can work together. And remember, there are many different interests in this value chain. The interests of the farmers are not the same as the interests of the massive feedlots. And the interests of the exporters are not the same as those of the farmers. And of course, now I'm talking with my selfish hat on as a representative of family farmers. My constituency are the smaller and medium-scale family farming units. They are the ones who are suffering the most. So we are banging on the minister's door all the time to say, this is really not rocket science. What we need is traceability, strict traceability. And traceability is just like it works with humans. It is vested on two pillars. We have a document, whether it be an ID or a passport. And in the case of cattle, they would have an ear tag that confirms identity. But along with that, like we have a fingerprint, they also have a nose print. And with the two of those it's very hard to cheat the system. We want a traceability system based on these two pillars.
Now, the interesting part about all of this is that humans can consume beef and mutton and goat meat, I guess, from an infected animal, and it doesn't affect us. We don't lose fertility. We don't produce less milk. We don't lose a lot of weight. That only happens to animals. So what's the problem?
There will be less beef on the shelves and shops, which means the prices would be higher. It's already so. You have seen the cost of a Saturday afternoon braai, that shot up now. It is all about what is available, the volumes which are available, the supply side. The demand side is still the same. The supply side is down. Prices are up. And we've not turned it around yet.
So it's an economic issue on the one side and an animal health issue on the other. If you're a farmer and you're producing beef or milk or mutton, you need to have healthy animals. And if those animals have foot and mouth disease, well, they aren't healthy anymore. And that's really the story here. And if you do not have a healthy agricultural sector and livestock farmers who can produce livestock at a price that is economic for the rest of us, you got a very serious problem. We'll be back again tomorrow with another economic issue that affects your pocket. Until then, cheerio.